Welcome to the Refuge Podcast, where we cultivate our faith in the shelter of God's Word. I'm your host, Jennifer Elwood. And today we are reading chapter 15 in Counting Up to Christmas, 24 Gifts from the Gospel of Luke. Okay, I'm going to do this. I think this is the third day in a row now. I'm like, look at the picture. Look at it. This was such a special picture to me. I originally had a print of the Rembrandt oil painting of the prodigal son. And so there's, you know, all kinds of copyright things. And I actually paid money to have it licensed for a certain number of copies. And I have gotten past that that limit. And so after a year, I thought, oh no, I better take everything out that I'm paying for. I'm just going to have to keep paying for it a lot more into the future. And so I decided to recreate it myself in the driveway. I scoped out the driveway over the course of like 3 months, waiting it for it to be the perfect spring day. I had sorted out my son's clothes, figured out what I wanted my dad to wear, contemplated there could be an older brother. There just wasn't. And I thought, I'm going to focus on this part of it. My son is such an introvert. I didn't know if he would actually do it, and he did, and he kind of complained about it. But I just adore this picture. I hope you do too. And if you have an older copy of the book, I think maybe what I will do is in the show notes, by the way, there's a bunch of great freebies in the show notes. I will put a link to this picture because you need to see it. It's so good. It's just, gosh, love it. Okay. I am done. Like, I'm not gushing over my own work here. I'm gushing over what God led me to do. Let's give him all the praise. It is because of him and his direction that this picture exists. So that being said, if you haven't read Luke 15 yet, go do that. And we'll contemplate this verse together. Just so I tell you, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Luke 15, 10 ESV. How do you decorate your table for the season of Advent? If you love candles like I do, perhaps an Advent wreath greases your table. When I was a toddler mom, lighting a flame could easily be disastrous, so I skipped this tradition for many years. Now that those days are behind me, mostly, I delight in this lovely, meaningful circle of light on my table during Christmas, and on the 8 days of Hanukkah, it's a menorah. It's about time to light the pink joy candle, our gift today. The parables in today's reading beautifully display our gift. We will primarily focus our time considering the parable of the prodigal son. We can learn a lot about joy from the characters in this story. Let's put on the shoes of each and walk through this gift one perspective at a time. We'll start with the swanky new sandals of the younger son. My life is joyless. The rules, the work on the farm, when do I finally get to live? In my latest pout, I approached flush with cash dad and with casual swagger asked for my inheritance. What's the worst he could say? No. Maybe I would get something. At least a fatted calf to have a party with. I couldn't believe my luck. Dad handed me all of it. Oh, yeah. Time to enjoy all the happiness, money, goodbye. Before I knew it, I had spent my entire inheritance. My fickle new friends moved on. What now? I looked down and noticed my shoes completely trashed. I had no money left to replace them. Then a famine began. Great. I needed a job and heard that a pig farm needed workers. Pigs are unclean animals, but I was desperate and took what I could get. When the pig slop started to look appetizing, I remembered the aroma of fresh bread passed out to my father's servants. The memory carried me home, hoping for a bite. I was so hungry, my stomach had stopped growling. Maybe Dad would let me work on the farm again. In the haze of too many steps taken in the throes of starvation, I began to recognize my father's fields. From the house in the distance, I saw a figure taking off like a shot. It occurred to me that Mom was going to think I smelled so bad. I was so embarrassed at what I'd become. I considered turning around, but I had nowhere else to go. Then I realized it wasn't my mom coming towards me. It was Dad, and he was running. I soon found myself in my father's embrace. I managed to croak out in tears the words I had practiced all the way home. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. My father replaced my shoes and put a ring on my finger. I didn't deserve any of it. Not only did we consume the freshly baked bread, I imagine all the way home, we salivated over fresh barbecue. I had behaved deplorably, but my dad celebrated my return with love and lavish grace. I was shocked by this unexpected gift. My joy was restored. So let's contrast this with the functional, well-worn shoes of the older brother. I have no time for nonsense. I'm the oldest and I work hard. I follow the rules and strive for perfection. My younger brother, on the other hand, he asked for his inheritance and Dad gave it to him. I cannot believe this happened. One day, after some time had passed since my irresponsible brother left home, I saw a hasty departure from the house. It almost looked like Dad running, but it couldn't be. He would never run. I asked one of the servants to see what the big deal was. When the servant returned with a report, I was disgusted. My baby brother had shamefully come back asking for a job. I'm not having any of this. My dad tried to explain to me that we should be joyful over my brother's return, but nope. The grace my dad showed angered me, and I stormed off into the fields. And finally, we slip into the stately, clean shoes of the father. I have two sons. The oldest, well, I worry about him. He's concerned with tasks, and as a result, often sacrifices relationship with the people around him. He's gruff with the hired help, but he works hard. I suppose he will be all right. And the youngest, well, he's caused most of the gray hair on my head. He laughs off his responsibilities, and while he's a disappointment, I still love him. But one day, my younger son shoved a dagger in my heart when he asked for his inheritance. I could not believe the disrespect. It feels like he wishes I was dead. We gave him the money, and with a heavy heart, I watched him leave. After some time, one of our servants came with news. He thought my son was at a farm far away in rags, taking slop to pigs. I was incredulous. I missed him so much and felt hope of his return began to stir in my heart. What other response could I have to my precious boy? Soon my hope was realized when I spied him walking towards the house. I threw off tradition and ran down the road, ready to meet his return. In my overwhelming joy, full of forgiveness, I reclothed him and got the celebration started. Then I realized my other son was going to be mad. I needed to find him. True to form, there he was, sulking in the field. As I approached, his anger was palpable. He watched the party from a distance, most likely feeling left out. He was so hard-hearted. I assured him that the entire farm was his and then spoke these words. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. We should have great joy. Even in the midst of naysaying, may we follow the examples of the younger son and the father to fully open the gift of joy today. And here's our prayer. Lord, we praise you for the joy you experience when we, your prodigal children, proclaim salvation. We thank you that you desire to grow in us a happiness that does not waver. Please help us bring you great glory with our insatiable joy. In Jesus' name, amen. For your song today, your worship song, listen to Joy to the World. Here's your prompt for Christmas quietude. I'm going to read to you 1 Peter 1:8-9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And that's in the NIV translation. Peter, who lived his own prodigal son moment when he denied Christ, wrote an insightful understanding of joy later in his life. So contemplate this verse, and if you're journaling, write down any prodigal areas in your life that call for joy. And if you're not journaling, just spend some time considering your prodigal moments and the ways that God has and will redeem them.